The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Next Best Thing with Linda C. Thompson. This show will intrigue and inspire you and keep you on the pulse of what's going on in healthcare, politics, the arts, and more. Now, here's your host, Linda C. Thompson.
Hi, welcome to The Next Best Thing. I'm your show host, Linda C. Thompson. The Next Best Thing covers the entire spectrum of experience, from lollipops to loving healthcare to holiness, technology to twirling. If it's an issue to you, we find those who know. Today we are so fortunate to have a wonderful, talented, multifaceted, brilliant woman that I am proud to call my friend. She has won a Tony, Broadway's coveted award, in 2007 for her leading role in the Sondheim revival of Company. And she has published books. She has been reporting. She has a business, internet marketing, entrepreneur. She is a strong advocate for volunteerism and nonprofits, has developed some incredible tools that she'll share with us that are out there really for free because she just thinks it's the right thing to do. So join me in welcoming my friend, the incomparable Ms. Kristen Huffman. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, thanks. Wow, that was a real wind-up there.
Like, okay, where do we go from there? But, well, I have such fond memories of when we were able to be together and spend time together like every week or whatever. And I have to, let's start this way, how we met. And it would be great to hear your take on it and my take on it. So, go first, how you and I first connected.
Well, I was taking a class, Paul Bogave, who is an amazing musical director for Broadway, and also he was the music director for Chicago movie, and for Nine coming out, millions of other things as well. I was taking that class, and you and I both happened to be in the same class.
I know. I'm still, I look back at that, it was just a remarkable time, and I still don't know, I can understand how you got in the class, but I still don't know exactly how I got in.
No, it's not true.
It was wonderful in that, in that time, the throes of, I was in the last throes of I Am My Own Dragon and getting that published, and the musical creativity would feed the artistic creativity in writing. And I would usually know that after class or after then a private session with you, I would be writing and up late. And
good.
So that was, it was a very special experience, that class, and that he would work with seasoned, talented performers who wanted to telling performance skills, telling a story song, or he would work with actors who needed to take on a musical role.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
what I'm known for is that, movie stars decide to do musicals kind of thing. So that was really fun. Now, you know, I think that everyone likes a peek behind the award winners. And so what was it like, that Broadway experience and winning the Tony?
Well, and I should clarify, the show that I was in, Company, the Stephen Sondheim show, won the Tony for Best Revival. Maybe someday I'll win one for myself, but just any of my company castmates listening to the show, they would say, Kristen, it was the whole show that won the Tony. So I was just lucky enough to be part of that amazing cast. I was a leading role, Sarah, the Karate Wife, if anyone has ever seen
the
show.
That's right, Karate Wife.
And we were taped for PBS. So if you haven't seen Company and you're, say, Netflix, we're on instant downloads. We're also on, you know, on DVD. So anybody who kind of wants to see Company can, you know, get that. I think we're on YouTube in sections as well. And who isn't at this point in their life?
Well, that's right. Our very show tonight will be downloaded on YouTube.
It was the best time. It was such a creative experience. We played all the musical instruments, plus we did all the singing and the acting. I'm actually meeting up with my cast tomorrow. I'm going to be in New York.
Oh.
I live in Connecticut, but I'm going to be in New York, and we're all going to have dinner together, those of us that are there.
That's great. Now,
yeah.
In your role, you played not only some heavy lifting and singing and dancing, but you played, the sax, the piccolo, what was the other one? The
flute. Mm-hmm.
Now, did you have to learn those instruments just for that show?
No, I was a flute major as well as voice major in college, so I've been playing probably since I was, I think, in fourth grade for flute and piccolo. And then I did have to pick the sax up, though. That was rather interesting, and my husband and my dog both kind of groaned through months of me learning how to play the sax. But, you know, it turned out well in the end, and it was kind of exciting to have to do that. With the whole cast, everybody played about two or three instruments, and some of us did have to learn a couple.
Well, it is such an ensemble piece that, you know, I'm not sure that in that show you could really single out a true leading role in the traditional sense. It is a very ensemble piece. It's a great show.
Raul Esparza, who played Bobby, now that's definitely the tour de force role. That's the leading male.
Yeah.
But then everybody else really was quite, that is so much of an ensemble. Everyone else had a leading role as well.
So you were there on Tony night, and you were going to.
Yeah.
They were
going to
give you your statue.
We didn't get it. The producers get to keep that, so I've never even touched it. But but we did get it. I mean, our names are announced. We just went wild. It was great. You know, you're sitting with your whole cast, and you've seen all the movie stars walking up and down the aisles. And I get a little flabbergasted when I meet movie stars. And so, you know, we're all in our gowns, and it was just it was a really great night. You know, that this was such an ensemble cast, and the cast won the Tony. So.
I think that's so wonderful. And then, of course, that experience preceded, though, by many, many years of hard work and training and diligence, some pageantry on your part. Kind of give us a historical rundown there. You know, sometimes it's like, well, gee, no, they didn't just show up one day at a Broadway audition.
Yeah, not hardly. No, my undergrad I did at Capital University in Columbus, Ohio, and that was a flute and voice major, also music ed, because I teach as well and have taught for 20 years, but the private studio. And then I went on to graduate school at Northwestern University in Chicago, and that was in opera. So I did about 7 years of professional opera. Right after grad school, I happened to luck into winning Miss Ohio, and then I was a runner-up to Miss America. And my platform issue was supporting volunteer activities in your area, how to draw more attention, make more money for those local nonprofits and charities. And then I just happened to do a year-long stint as a reporter at NBC in Columbus, and they let me go after about a year because they said Miss Ohio wasn't credible. Of course, now, you know, a lot of the reporters have those backgrounds, but, you know, whatever. Back then, I guess it wasn't the thing. But it's okay. I got my first opera contract the minute they let me go. So I thought, that's destiny. And then I started crossing over and doing, what we say, crossover, and I'm doing musical theater as well. And I grew up singing musical theater. So it was nice to kind of be back home in that genre, and just got luckier and luckier and continued studying. You always study voice. You always study dance and acting, and you just continually, you'll never make the money back that you spent on your career as an artist, unfortunately, but you do it because you love it.
Right.
And, I just did all sorts of dinner theater and regular theaters and regional theaters for years, and then was lucky enough to just be in the right place at the right time, play the right instruments, be prepared, look the way they wanted me to look, and I got my Broadway debut.
There you go. And who knows, there may be more in your future, but you just
seem to keep on going.
It was
a great experience if there's not.
Then you have, during that time when you were auditioning, tell us a little bit. There's something that just triggered in my mind. Tell us a little bit. I have to go back to this. You got to tour Europe, and you played Christine in Phantom. Is that right?
Yeah, in the Maury Yeston version of Phantom. Yeah, I got cast as Christine, and about 3 months, and we went through Germany and Switzerland and Austria, and that was a very stressful experience, but I learned a lot from it. And it was great to be in that show.
That is mind-boggling. I mean, are there any peak moments, like, you know, that you can recall, like favorite places and things like that?
You know, when you're on a kind of bus and truck tour and you're going one, if they're called one-nighters or two-nighters,
yeah.
you don't really get to do much sightseeing. My husband came over and visited me for 5 weeks, and he saw a lot of Germany, and he liked it. But I spent most of the time worrying about my voice and wasn't going to be able to, you know, it was 8 shows a week, just like they all are. But we didn't really, being on a bus every single day and then traveling for 5 or 6 hours every single day and then showing up and singing and then going to bed and waking up again early at, like, 7 and getting on the bus again was really hard. I just remember that we did the dialogue in German, and then we would sing the music in English, because that's how they're used to seeing a lot of musicals over there. They see The Sound of Music, they dub in the speaking, but they want to hear Julie Andrews' voice.
I see.
Maybe hear that in English. So we had to do the dialogue in German and do the music in English.
Oh, no, nothing like a challenge there, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
still,
doing
it is
German
challenging
for German,
physically.
And I had to learn the show.
Yeah.
And I'd learned it, but I had to get it staged in 3 days. And I watched it from the audience once, and then I followed the Christine that was in behind scenes 2 days, and then I jumped in and did it.
Isn't that something?
Well, it makes you feel like
that is so grueling to get on the bus. I mean, just physically, to be on a bus, to be, you know, you worry about circles and you worry about your voice going, you worry about respiratory infection, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is definitely a grueling experience and really an athletic one.
Yeah, and you know what? It's part of paying your dues. So, you know, there are some people who are lucky enough to pop into Broadway or something immediately when they get out of school, and I almost feel sorry for them, almost, because they don't know what it's like. But then when they're finished with that one, oftentimes they don't get another one, and they have to go back to where we all start, which is dinner theater and other theaters, you know, and get your equity card and everything else. So I'm grateful for every single experience I had leading up to my Broadway career, because it just taught me so much.
And prepared you for, I think, many of the entrepreneurial pursuits that you've gone on to do, which I want to talk about when we come back to break. I know that we're going to go into one here in just a moment, but the entrepreneurial side, which really has merged now with that volunteerism platform that you had as a pageant contestant. And
yeah.
So we'll hear more about that if when we come back. We're going to stop for just a moment and a quick break. And after our break, we'll have more of The Next Best Thing with I'm Linda C. Thompson, your show host. And the guest is the incomparable, talented, brilliant Miss Kristen Huffman.
Thanks, Linda.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. TriEye is passionate about our credibility and the reputation of our clients. We build long-term value-added relationships, optimize social capital and bottom-line results. TriEye features the three I's. Insight, identifying client vision, strategy, and goals, designing perfect programs, and invigorating individuals, teams, organizations. Inspiration, enlivening vision, strategy, and goals in the heart, mind, spirit of all in the organization. Implementation, pragmatic results, outcomes, and plans for follow-through. For follow-up and an assessment of our success, visit TRIIST.com today. Acclaimed author, playwright, poet, singer, actor, and beauty, Linda C. Thompson is the double, triple threat. You can anticipate a stunning performance in her next 3 books already in the works. Psst, her personal next best thing? She's in training to be a horse whisperer. For more information about Linda C. Thompson and to view her blogs, check out her podcasts, and connect with her community, visit www.lindasworlds.com. Again, that's lindasworlds.com. Listen for MD Radio on Voice America.
That's Muscular Development Radio.
Every Monday, your hosts Sean Ray and Flex Wheeler will take you inside the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. The show will feature Hall of Fame bodybuilders, trainers, judges, and the future champions of tomorrow. Plus, you'll be invited to participate in our call-in Ask the Pros feature. And our nutritional spotlight will feature products that can help you achieve your fitness goals. MD Radio is broadcast live Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific on Voice America.
stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain inspired really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com. Enjoying The Next Best Thing with host Linda C. Thompson, a show that sorts out this confusing, complex world by keeping you one step ahead of the game. Let's continue our discussion. Here's Linda C. Thompson.
Welcome back to The Next Best Thing. I'm your host, Linda C. Thompson, and we have with us tonight Broadway star and entrepreneur and many other things, Ms. Kristen Huffman. Welcome back, Kristen.
Thanks.
Now, we've talked about that your volunteerism and your strong fundraising efforts and the entrepreneurship. I mean, this may take a while to talk about, but that kind of is a package, a side of you that has really hitting its stride now, and I'm just mesmerized to see where it's going to go. But tell us the beginning of that part, that side of you.
Well, my dad's a Lutheran minister, my mom's a choir director, and also a phenomenal music teacher, and my dad was also a professor at the seminary in Columbus, Ohio, and I think that whole idea of that service over self thing was just ingrained in us, so we were always, as a family, singing for different, you know, organizations and fundraisers and stuff like that, so for me, it just seemed like a natural that, A, I would pick that as my platform issue at Miss America, and then, B, I mean, while I was Miss Ohio, they would set up, and I would set up different events, like with the Cancer Association, Alzheimer's, or whatever, and the open shelter, I sat in a dumpster on the Ohio State University campus, and it was a clean dumpster, and people would walk by, and they would put a dollar in, and all that went to the open shelter, which is a shelter home kind of thing, and of course, you know, here's Miss Ohio, with a crown on her head, sitting in a dumpster, that's very photo-worthy and television-worthy. So that's when all the TV stations would come out. And I started, and the pie in the face for cancer, to slap a pie on Miss Ohio, you know? And I started to realize the splashier and more hook-worthy something was, the more money you could raise, more people would come out just to see the spectacle, and also would give money to those events. So, you know, for like 15 years, I've been organizing different cabarets or different groups, you know, with all my performer friends when they were available and raising money for charities. And it got to be to a point, especially with this economy, where I was getting so many calls I couldn't keep up with it and I couldn't keep imposing on all my friends, although many were so glad to help. And I was producing it and emceeing and everything else. So I am a distributor with MarketAmerica.com, which is an online product brokerage company. And it's an amazing company. We just partner with Microsoft. And it has, we're partners also with 2,500 other stores like Macy's and REI and Disney and Travelocity and stuff. But also we have a bunch of different product lines that are based in billion-dollar industries. So I created events off of every single product line we have. The makeup line is called Motives by Lauren Ridinger. It's gorgeous. It's so well-priced because I'm an online company. I don't have to have any inventory.
Yes.
So at that party is called Slam Glam. The weight management line, which is not a diet, it really is low glycemic eating weight management, it is called Are Your Fat Pants Too Tight? And then the isotonic line, which a lot of doctors actually carry these supplements in their offices, and it's you know, a line developed by health professionals for health professionals, too. And that's called the Hot and Healthy Cocktail Party.
Mm-hmm.
We just developed a new one called Mother-Daughter Date Night because a lot of my voice students' moms are saying, is there anything we can do to help girls with their body image and, you know, how they need to think about themselves? And I was like, you know what? Let's tie that together, and we'll base that off of the skincare line. And the way we have it set up, just in a nutshell, is that there is usually an altruistic business, like a salon or spa or whatever. The nonprofit will come to me, like, for instance, the West Haven Child Development Center. We did this last week. And they said, can you help us make money? I said, great. You know, hook me up with a salon or spa that, you know, leans towards you. Teddy and Archel's is one that we did it at in West Haven, Connecticut. And they are very sympathetic to charities and helping them. And so I said, great. You know, let's do, and they picked the Slam Glam. Let's do the Slam Glam. So what we do is we just have about 10 to 15 women show up for that. They RSVP with $20. That entire $20 RSVP from each person goes to that nonprofit, okay? And then we put on the event. I'm used to producing events, so
there you go.
It
plays right into your strengths.
That's it. And just to finish it out, you know, I give my retail profit back to that business of anything that moves that night in the form of products at cost. And then they can try the products, they can resell them, they can make money. I don't charge to do this. So, but we all end up making money the way that I've kind of set it up. And they can go to KristenHuffman.com, and a lot of the details are there if they want to see a little bit more about detailed descriptions of the products. But, you know, I've gotten, and the Association of Fundraising Professionals asked me to present at their upcoming, it's kind of like workshops, a lot of different ones in the same place of what we're doing, and to try to help as many nonprofits as possible.
Is that the event coming up in November that you've
that's
chatting
November
about?
19th, yep.
And it's going to be an
Association of Fundraising Professionals.
And one of the things you're going to be doing at that event
is basically laying this out in a nutshell of how to help them have more creative, out-of-the-box, one-to-one marketing types of ideas for their fundraisers. And they don't have to use ours particularly if they want to pattern it off of what we're doing. But I kind of feel like it's my job to help people, to educate people on this more face-to-face, one-to-one marketing. I'm doing, I was selected to be a part of a seminar tomorrow with Seth Godin, who wrote Permission Marketing and Purple Cow and The Dip and Tribe.
Yeah.
And it is for people who work with a lot of nonprofits or nonprofits in to help them understand the new marketing trends as opposed to mass marketing, now one-to-one marketing. And you know what? Actors have been doing that for years. That's how we get our jobs. We one-to-one market ourselves.
Mm-hmm,
so
absolutely.
I was like, yes, I already know this, some of this, you know?
It seems to play it. Now, when you were actually doing Broadway when you first got into Market America.
Exactly. So, you know, it's one of those, I spend maybe 8 hours a week, you know, doing that, but it's very flexible. When I was, like I said, when I was on Broadway, I was just using the amazing products basically to look good and stay well. A lot of my cast was asking me about, you know, what are you doing for this or that? And I would do, you know, here, let me share these products with you. Or, you know, people are interested in finding some way to supplement what they're doing. It's not meant to be a full-time job at all, but it's a way to add some extra income on a residual income, passive income kind of basis.
So the win-win here is you found a way to take your natural talents and inclinations that have been a part of you since your childhood and
yes.
show nonprofits how to use these amazing products in a way that they are enriched. The events you don't charge for, but if there are residuals, it may build your customer base somewhat and there may be some passive income increase for you there too. And so it is truly a win-win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it feels good to do it. It's a lot of fun. Everybody leaves feeling pampered. You feel that you've done something good for a charity or a nonprofit. And yeah, maybe they made $300-$400 off of the event, and they're like, wow, you know. But you know what? You do it every single month, and it becomes a nice steady stream of income for that nonprofit.
Yeah,
and
you have
created a little tribe of people who believe in this nonprofit, who believe in this great altruistic salon, you know, and they're like, you know what? I'm going to keep coming back, and I'm going to recommend people. That's one-to-one marketing. It's permission marketing as well, because you're saying, do I have permission to invite you to the next things or send you my newsletter?
Exactly, exactly. You know, you should build that capture ratio and people that sort of following these events. And it's really, I think that the volunteerism, especially in the sort of times we live in and this economy, is just such a strong play. Now, there's a component to this that you developed, powerful images.
That's what the when I described the Slam Glam and the Healthy Cocktail Party and the Are You Fat Pants Too Tight, those are all events within the powerful image events.
Oh, so I see.
So, and
okay,
I
so
keep
that's
adding
theory.
Some to those as well for what I feel like people need and want.
And I think,
but I feel
it sounds like
it says it all. You know, I'm helping people create that powerful image.
Yeah, it sounds like it's being incredibly successful.
I'm, you know, knock on wood, and we're going to keep growing and educating people about how this is a better way to kind of think of fundraising. That doesn't mean they're not going to do their big fundraisers. Don't get me wrong. But nobody's spending $1,000 a plate right now to go to the big fundraisers, you know? So to have other forms of fundraising in addition to what they're already doing, I think, is a really good idea.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
And if I'm going to produce it for them and all they have to do is show up, basically, why not?
And it's a fun time. You know, it's a fun time. And sometimes in this kind of world that we're living in now, just the fact that you can walk away feeling relaxed, a little healthier, bonded, connected, built a tribe, done something with a family member. I mean, those are the things that get us through times like these.
And onward. I don't even think it's going to change once the economy gets better. Because I really think marketing has changed completely, you know?
Yeah, this is kind of a watershed.
Those direct mailers, you know, you get, what, a 1% response rate?
Mm-hmm.
And you think you're doing well. But you've used up a lot of trees and a lot of your own income in the meantime, you know?
Exactly. And this sort of economy is really a sort of historical watershed. The world will always be different after this period.
Yeah, I think this
emphasis on volunteerism is probably something that we need to keep a part of us more as intensely now as we have during the difficult times. We need to keep it alive and a part of us in the good times as well.
It's an evolving, enlightening
experience for us to do that. The more we give, the more we get.
Well, you know what, Warren Buffett, all those guys who are wealthy, really, they espouse that same thing, that you don't even get wealthy until you start thinking about giving back to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the book that I've been writing for a little while now. You know, use what you got. And I keep coming up with more and more things to put in the book. So soon it'll be an e-book, and then I'm only going to have, you know, they can buy it off my website, $15, and $5 out of every sale is going to go to a different nonprofit every month.
This is the working title on this book is what now?
Use what you got. Because I want people to understand that they don't have to be Miss Ohio, blah, 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 all that stuff, you know, Tony, whatever. They can use what they've got to help raise money. And I've been collecting all sorts of amazing fundraising stories, different types of fundraisers. I'm teaching at Western Connecticut State University right now, the music ed kids. And I said, look, you're going to have to know how to fundraise for your band boosters and for your choir boosters. Come in with your best ideas. And quite honestly, they come up with some great stuff, you know?
I bet they do. But
well,
it's not part of what I'm supposed to be teaching,
but you know what? Who's going to teach them how to do that stuff?
Yeah, and you've got to kind of keep your antenna alive, your radar alive, so they just say, I sniff a story there that you might want to include.
right, yeah.
Well, we have to hear a little bit more about it. Now, you're going to have, so far, you've got a collection of stories.
Yeah.
Little stories that you're going to someday put into some kind of order and publish as an ebook.
You're right. Yeah.
There we go. And that's going to be on what website?
Well, it's on BroadwayWorld.com. And if you do, I'm pretty sure it's still up there because I did it during my year of doing the show, doing company. And if you search under Actor Quest, like a quest that you would go on, you'll see all the stories in descending order. And it chronicles, first of all, the life of an actor, because that's how it started, which is emails to my mom and dad to let them know the crazy things that were happening. And then they just turned into funnier and funnier stories. And then, of course, when we were getting ready for, putting the musical instruments in with the acting and the singing, it was just craziness. So I was writing about that, and it just became a way for people to go through the experience with us. So, yeah, I'm going to have to put that together in an e-book. I should just do it now, because all the pictures are there, everything is there.
There. I mean, you know, not that you're busy or anything in your spare time.
I actually just hired a personal assistant, so I feel like such a grown-up now, you know, and somebody that will actually help me, who's also very musically minded and is a big Seth Godin fan. So she understands
great.
The marketing things
great.
That I'm doing.
Yeah. We're going to take just another quick break. I know it seems like we just get going good and we have to stop for a break. But when we come back, you know, now you mentioned that you're teaching at Western Connecticut. And we want to talk a little bit about your educator side. We've heard about the Broadway side. We've heard about the entrepreneur side. So let's talk a little bit about your private studio work, your professorship of work, and that sort of thing when we come back from break. So we'll take a quick break on The Next Best Thing with I'm your host, Linda C. Thompson, and our guest, Kristen Huffman. And we'll be back in just a minute.
The experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
TriEye is passionate about our credibility and the reputation of our clients. We build long-term value-added relationships, optimize social capital and bottom-line results. TriEye features the three I's.
Insight.
Identifying client vision, strategy, and goals. Designing perfect programs and invigorating individuals, teams, organizations.
Inspiration.
Enlivening vision, strategy, and goals in the heart, mind, spirit of all in the organization.
Implementation.
Pragmatic results, outcomes, and plans for follow-through. For follow-up and an assessment of our success, visit TRIIST.com today. Acclaimed author, playwright, poet, singer, actor, and beauty, Linda C. Thompson is the double, triple threat. You can anticipate a stunning performance in her next three books already in the works.
Psst, her personal next best thing?
She's in training to be a horse whisperer. For more information about Linda C. Thompson and to view her blogs, check out her podcasts, and connect with her community, visit www.lindasworlds.com. Again, that's lindasworlds.com. Are you feeling overwhelmed? Do you lack energy and enthusiasm? Do you really want to change your thoughts and feelings? Can you really stay sane when your life isn't? Of course you can, just by listening to Stay Sane Now each week with Claudine Struck and co-host Wesley Stoller. You'll have fun and learn how to make each new day the best day of your life. Every show is designed to energize and get you started off on the next week. Stay Sane Now is broadcast live Thursdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific on Seventh Wave Network.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Enjoying The Next Best Thing with host Linda C. Thompson, a show that sorts out this confusing, complex world by keeping you one step ahead of the game. Let's continue our discussion. Here's Linda C. Thompson.
Welcome back to The Next Best Thing. I'm your show host, Linda C. Thompson, and we're visiting today with Kristen Huffman, Broadway Tony Award winner, educator, author, business entrepreneur, multifaceted, brilliant, beautiful woman. So, before break, we said we were going to talk a little bit more about that educator side, which is also as multifaceted as everything else you do, Kristen. And you have a private studio where you teach a variety of folks, from children to actors preparing for an audition and people preparing for pageants and that kind of stuff. You teach at a professorship level in a university. Mm-hmm. And, let's see, are there other venues you're teaching?
Well, let's see. Performing Arts Center, I did for a little bit in Trumbull, for a while in Trumbull, actually, and then Fairfield Theater Company.
Yeah.
The summers a little bit, you know, helping them out. So, yeah, I used to teach at the Hart School, part of the University of Hartford, musical theater, and Western Connecticut is the music ed majors, a little more on the classical level. I teach some piano lessons as well as some voice lessons.
Now, tell us, we always love student stories, and you can de-identify, you know, there are no names mentioned here, and we don't publicly humiliate, but, you know, there are always sort of favorite things you do. I know that in being in your private studio at times, that there were times you were getting ready for working with the children and doing some of their staging and their musical numbers and things like that. So give us a little flavor for some of these, the different facets of people you teach and how that works for you, whether it's, you know, a 3-year-old or a 33-year-old.
But I do have a 5-year-old piano student right now. Everything from 5 to 80 I've had. Seriously, 80 years old. Who used to be a barbershop quartet guy.
How lovely is that?
Yeah, I know. And then the 5-year-old, very smart, very bright, challenging sometimes. And generally I talk to the children. I hadn't taught piano lessons. Mostly I taught voice lessons until about, I'm going to say 6 or 7 years ago, when people started asking me, you know, could you start my little girl? And I was like, yeah, well, I'll try, little boy, whatever. And I have the best time with them, more than I ever thought I would, because the little ones are very bright most of the time, and they get sarcasm. I speak to them like little adults most of the time, you know, and they seem to appreciate it. You know, there's a couple that I've had to tell not to have so much sugar when they come into my studios, and they understand what I'm talking about. And I, sometimes it's funny with the junior high and the high school girls. The moms will say to me, pull me over and say, now don't say that I said this, but could you mention that she shouldn't wear such tight pants when she has her little tummy? And I'll find, I'm like, wow, how am I going to work that into a voice lesson? You know, I just kind of put it in terms of, if I have to say something like that, you know, in terms of myself and getting ready for pageants, I wasn't really, I never starved myself, I never did, you know, eating incorrectly or whatever, and I always try to choose flattering outfits, whatever, you know, and it's fun. They're challenging in their own way. The boys are different than the girls, you know, and I'm one-on-one with them as opposed to a classroom. I have so much respect for classroom teachers. Andy, actually, my husband does that. And I just, I don't know how they keep control of that entire class and get anything done. I can do a lot one-on-one with people. And, you know, I don't really care if someone has a lot of talent. I really care if they try. If they go home and they practice, I have a couple of girls who have not very good pitch, but, you know, they work so hard, and I'd spend time over and over and over with them because that, to me, is rewarding. I can tell that they feel good. You can see it on a student's face of any age when they know they've done something really well, really musical, and you can just see their whole face light up, and I'm never stingy about compliments, and they know that I'm real when I tell them that. When I say, that was the best I think you've ever sounded, you know, and let's try again for this next week, you know? And I think it doesn't matter if they're going to be musicians or not, professional musicians. They've shown that kids' SAT scores are higher when they've studied an art, you know? And it's about the discipline and the craft of it. And it can teach you so much just from taking piano or voice lessons when you're younger or art lessons or ballet lessons. I think it's a shame that a lot of it gets cut out in schools. But for those of us who teach private lessons, that means, you know, hopefully we're getting more students that we can help with a more general education in that respect.
You know, amen to you. And I, having spent some time with you in your private studio, I can honestly say that you do everything with a positive spin. It's not like, okay, let me tear you down until you are within an inch of your emotional life.
It's such a personal. Well, the voice is such a personal instrument. It's something you carry inside of you. And I had enough teachers, good and bad, you know, to know what to say and what not to say. And my mother was the best teacher I ever had in my entire life. She's remarkably passionate, and she loves music, and she loves people, and that's who I model myself after. My dad's a wonderful teacher of theology, and they're both so passionate about what they do, and so there's no way I couldn't pick up some of that along the way.
Now, tell us a little bit about that. It's very different when you, what is your experience like at the university level?
I like it because they're there because they want to be there and they really want to do well. With the musical theater kids, it's a different type of kid than it is with the music ed kid. I say kids, and here they are, you know, in college. But with the music ed kids, I make sure they understand the business as well. I mean, they have to be able to take so much rejection. They have to know how to network one-on-one with those casting directors and follow up with postcards and do, you know, and understand the business side. So I was always very interested in teaching them not only how to sing well and how to perform well and how to dress well and how to, you know, show your best side to everybody and how to network and to do the business. Now, with the music ed kids at the other university, at the Western Connecticut State University, they're going into a much different field where they need to make other people that they're teaching, kind of what I'm doing, feel good. And I, you know, even in our classes, like I said, I teach them about fundraising and I teach them how to present themselves. I say, speak to me, they're freshmen and sophomore. Speak to me as if you're speaking to an administrator you want to get hired by. You know, and so I try to teach them a little neuro-linguistic programming so that they, instead of saying but, they say and. Instead of saying a problem, they say a challenge. Understanding that words are so incredibly powerful and how you use them to affect your students and to affect other people. You can rule the world if you use it correctly, you know?
The old adage, the pen is mightier than the sword.
Exactly.
Think about some of the writings of the ancients and historical figures and how those things did change the world.
Right.
Mahatma Gandhi, who spent so many years in prison and yet kept writing, and his writings really changed the world and later became president of the same country that imprisoned him.
And you know, I have to be honest, if I could be the kind of person I am as a teacher in all other aspects of my life, I think I probably would be a better person. You know, I feel like I'm a decent person, but there's certainly shortcomings that I have and challenges that I have. But I feel like as a teacher, for some reason, it all comes together the right way. So that's why I try to be a teacher in my online business, a teacher when I'm helping people with raising money, even a teacher when it comes to performing, because I just feel maybe it's that giving back. Maybe it's that I care more about you than I have to care about myself at that point, you know?
I really understand what you mean there. You know, as I translate that into my corporate career, when I found that the bigger the leadership position, the more people reporting to me, the more responsibility, it absolutely pulled out the best in me. I was
mm-hmm.
the best yep. of myself there. And it's because my leadership philosophy was always, it's my responsibility now to help you be the best you can be. Surprise
mm-hmm.
yourself with your own achievements
yep.
and to really be in service to you.
Yeah.
And so I can really understand that, and I think that mindset of sort of selfless giving,
mm-hmm.
you know, that one of the reasons we love
Paul's
class.
It sounds
like you're
a true teacher as well, because a true teacher takes delight in the fact that their students or whoever they're working with shine, you know, and certainly not that we teachers don't have an ego, but it's different. It's a different kind of ego.
Exactly. And that's what I think is so brilliantly poignant about so much of what the kind of work you do, the kind of work that anyone in a teaching role does, is just dramatically wonderful to do that kind of thing.
Thanks. It's too bad most teachers, like in public schools, aren't paid more, because they certainly make more of a difference than, I mean, who do you point to when you think back on people who've affected your life? You know, my seventh grade science teacher, my mother who was a teacher, you know what I mean? They're usually teachers.
Absolutely. We spend so much of our lives learning. And those of us who've been sort of blessed in a way with the of having true teaching experiences, those changing people's lives and changing the world one person at a time or one group at a time, it really sort of elevates your own soul in a way.
Yeah. And then you hope you've taught other people to do the same thing.
If they can, to go back and, you know, it's that whole, you touch one person, if they can touch two more.
Yeah.
Then,
and that's all back to one-to-one marketing again.
It really is. Which is a whole lot like networking with casting directors and preparing for auditions and things like that. So it is, you know, I think someone wrote All the World's a Stage. In a pretty famous play now.
That's right. Maybe I should make that the opening line of my website, and then I can go branch off from there.
That's it. All the world's a stage, and that way you can really talk about the theater metaphor as a metaphor for life and how you live it. Foregrounds and backgrounds and textures and all that kind of stuff.
Good idea.
Okay, good. I'm glad we created something together. But this is the way we always were. Every time we got together, we were
bounce ideas off each other. Yeah, I love it.
We always did. We haven't ever done it live on radio before, but hey, it's just the next best thing.
I love it.
So that's we're going to head into a brief break for a minute, and then we'll have a little bit of time to come back. And I want to ask you all the questions about things that make you crazy.
Oh, good.
And what you can be saying. So that'll be fun. And if you're willing, you can even hum a few tunes of favorite songs that maybe ground you or.
Okay.
Hum a few bars, but I'm not going to put you on the spot on that. But here we're going to go into a quick break, and in just a moment we'll be back with Kristen Huffman and all the things that make her crazy, keep her sane. And I'm your show host on the Next Best Thing, Linda C. Thompson. We'll be back in a minute.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
TriEye is passionate about our credibility and the reputation of our clients. We build long-term value-added relationships, optimize social capital and bottom-line results. TriEye features the three I's.
insight,
identifying client vision, strategy, and goals, designing perfect programs, and invigorating individuals, teams, organizations.
Inspiration,
enlivening vision, strategy, and goals in the heart, mind, spirit of all in the organization.
Implementation,
pragmatic results, outcomes, and plans for follow-through. For follow-up and an assessment of our success, visit TRIIST.com today.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Acclaimed author, playwright, poet, singer, actor, and beauty, Linda C. Thompson is the double, triple threat. You can anticipate a stunning performance in her next three books already in the works. Her personal next best thing, she's in training to be a horse whisperer. For more information about Linda C. Thompson and to view her blogs, check out her podcasts, and connect with her community, visit www.lindasworlds.com. Again, that's lindasworlds.com.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Enjoying The Next Best Thing with host Linda C. Thompson, a show that sorts out this confusing, complex world by keeping you one step ahead of the game. Let's continue our discussion. Here's Linda C. Thompson.
Welcome back to The Next Best Thing, and I'm your show host, Linda C. Thompson. We're visiting with Kristen Huffman, Broadway Tony Award winner, Miss Ohio, runner-up to Miss America, business entrepreneur, college professor, private studio person, author. Let's see, is there anything else you're going to do, Kristen?
I hope not. I'm tired.
I mean, these are only the things that you've done. It's like, okay, so rocket science on the agenda here, or?
Heck no. I'll leave that to my husband.
Oh, my gosh. So in this last segment, which of the show, unfortunately, it's shorter, and so I want to have just, let's have some fun here.
Okay.
So you know, you were in Miss Ohio, and they always ask you the interview question,
mm-hmm.
right? Was yours really
right.
world peace?
No, they really kept it to, you know, how would you make a difference volunteer-wise. You know, they kept with what our platform was. I mean, we had a whole interview, like, you know, 7-8 minutes, and then the one on stage was mostly pertaining to our, you know, how would you help with a charity, that kind of thing. And I said, you know, you hear a lot of people giving good rhetoric to it, but you don't always see them jumping in doing it, and you should just do it. And, hey, I said that before Nike took that as one of their slogans, by the way.
That is... Let's see.
But no, they never
how
asked
would
me about
you
world,
solve world
had,
hunger.
Had they asked me, I would have said, I think everybody should just hold hands instead of guns.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have said that, but you know, it's fun to joke about.
I know. I mean, would you ask me to ask about the world hunger thing?
Say that again?
One of the things you said is I could be sure and ask me about solving world hunger.
Yeah, oh. And so you did.
Well, you would, of course, show them healthy cocktails. And
exactly, because I'm certainly not going to show them how to cook. That'd be scary. That would not solve world hunger.
There you go. And then what are the things that, you know, in your busy, multifaceted life, what are the things that, you know, really start getting you down? You talked, we were talking right before break about how, you know, the privilege of teaching brings out the best in us sometimes, our really highest self. So when you're not in your highest self, what are the things that are making you crazy, and how do you get back to center?
Oh, you know, I guess people who are disrespectful. You know, I was kind of brought up to really try to respect other people. And when you have anybody around you who maybe doesn't respect you or your property or your the things that you do, maybe doesn't take even time to find out who you really are, or you have somebody who doesn't follow through, you know, people who say they're going to call and they don't call, they're going to email and they don't email, those are things that either drive me crazy or just make me go, you know what, next, I'm not dealing with you. Because I think, you know, I've realized this year life is too short to spend time with people who waste your time. So, you know, and when bad things happen to you, whether they're of your own making or of someone else's making, generally someone else's and you didn't expect them, you can crawl in a hole and die. Or you can do other things that help other people, or you can, you know, concentrate on something other. And I would have to say this year was fraught with some stressful things for us, and instead of just feeling sorry for ourselves, we went further and harder after the Powerful Image events that would help with a lot of charities. So, I mean, we weren't perfect in how we dealt with a lot of things, but that was something that I can look back on and say, you know what, that was a good thing out of something bad that happened.
And that's really how we take challenging times and not only get through them, but use them as a launching pad into something greater and greater and greater. I think too often when times are challenging, we sort of hunker down and say,
yes,
okay, well, maybe I can get by on just this every week or
right,
just that, when maybe that's exactly the time when we need to think our biggest thoughts and take
yes,
our biggest shots.
Yep, I think so. Biggest challenge. And you know what? Even during economic times, everybody knows this. I mean, Google was born of a bad economic time. I think Microsoft, some of those things happened when the economy was way down and people are just trying new ideas. And you can. You know, you really, when's a better time than you know, to make your best effort?
It's really, it is difficult because, you know, you can, because everybody, there is sort of a, you know, some economic realities going on. There's no doubt about that. And
yeah,
it does touch everybody to a certain extent in one way or another. And yet, that is when the best of us needs to rise up and say, okay, how am I going to live the
yeah,
life that I know I need to live in this
yeah,
environment?
Exactly.
Not contracting in.
And, you know, I think the things that make me crazy are people who will obsess about hurting other people, you know, whether it's a war, whether it's a personal issue, whether it's whatever. Those things, that makes me crazy.
And how do you get back to center?
Well, you know, I'm certainly not a holy roller, even though my dad's a Lutheran minister, but I definitely have a faith that, for me, I'm a Lutheran, and my family and those kind of supportive people. I do the serenity prayer a lot,
mm-hmm,
you know, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I have sayings, I have positive affirmations that I do, sometimes just reading or being quiet or just going away to Ogunquit, Maine, which is my favorite place in the entire world. Those kind of things center me, you know, get me away. The water centers me. I love living on the water, and I love going down to the beach. That's what we do. I love my dog, Honey. She's a golden rescue golden retriever. You know, and being around my husband and my family and my friends, the ones who are positive. The more positive people you're around, the more positive you feel. Just don't hang out with negative people because you're always going to be negative.
Yeah, it is a contagion. You know, and you sort of magnetize yourself for success and positivism,
mm-hmm,
et cetera, the more you hear about that.
Yep.
And then if there's negativity going on, that's
mm-hmm,
contagious as well. And so you have to sort of protect your psyche about that.
I agree. And I read a lot of books, and I, you know, do a lot of audios and things that are positive. And I do feel it makes a difference. Exercise, which I should be doing more of right now, but I'm not. That usually will keep me a little more centered as well.
Yeah. There are those basics of just movement, you know, getting out and walking around with the dog or
mm-hmm,
on the beach or around the block or reaching out to a neighbor that you haven't met before and or something
right,
like that. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Those are the things that connect us. And I think those, once we connect with others and it's a very positive connection, then we can find our own center. So there's that individual, there's that tension always between individual and the world and how we connect. And we just got to plug in. Plug into the positive channel.
Yeah.
So I think that's great. Well, Kristen, like I said, it's been too long since we've chatted, as we've sort of, our worlds aren't quite as overlapping as they were.
Yeah.
And we must schedule a catch-up call, just, our talk.
Absolutely. Because I want to hear what's going on with you. I mean, you're just making such a remarkable, you know, imprint with the different people that you said that you're interviewing and helping a lot of people who listen to your show. So that's great, Linda.
Well, and you have been one of those people, one of those inspiring, wonderful people that anyone who's listening to the show or goes into the archives of VoiceAmerica.com and the Variety Channel will hear this show and make a difference in their lives. So, Kristen, I can't thank you enough. I will tell you just a little bit of a preview next week. You know, this is a two-part series of music and how it impacts our lives with the Celtic rock band last week and our the wonderful Ms. Huffman this week. So next week, we're going to the movie, to the pictures. An artist and photographer in New York City, Mark DeMauve. So that should be exciting. We'll go from the sound to the visual image
next week.
And so, Kristen, I will tell you that I just can't thank you enough for spending time with us.
You're welcome. And, you know, if anybody wants to read more about the Powerful Image events, they can go to KristenHuffman.com, K-R-I-S-T-I-N.
That's great. Now, give us that website one more time.
Kristen Huffman, HUFFMAN.com. And you can contact me through there as well.
That's great. Thank you so much, Kristen. And until next week, it's Linda C. Thompson and the next best thing.
Thanks again for joining us for the Next Best Thing. Linda C. Thompson will be back for another exciting edition next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Until then, have the best week.